Daf Lamed Hey. The Mishnah says it's going through various brachos. The brachos on fruit from a tree is Berei Priya Eitz. On wine, it's Berei Priya Gafen. The fruit from the ground is Berei Priya Dama. Bread is Amotzi Lechem in Haaretz. Vegetables is Berei Priya Dama. And Rabbi Yehuda actually says it's Berei Minei Dishaim. The Gemara says, where do we even learn that we have an obligation to make brachos? From the pasuk of Kodesh Hilulim LaHashem, that's holy for praises to Hashem, and because Hilulim, praises, is plural, there are two praises. We learn that you have to say a bracha rishona and a bracha achrona, a bracha before you eat and a bracha after you eat. Rabbi Akiva says, from here we learn that it's usher to taste anything without making a bracha. We said we already use this plural Hilulim to teach two other things. One of the two plural Hilulim is used to teach that the fruit of the fourth year, this miser of the fourth year, which is supposed to only be eaten in Yerushalayim, you can actually deconsecrate the fruit and transfer that kedusha onto money, and then you can eat the fruit outside of Yerushalayim as long as you bring the money to Yerushalayim. The second thing we learned from the two Hilulims is that only something that the Levium sing about, which is grapes, needs this deconsecration. And Rabbi Yonasan says, yeah, the Levium only sing over the grapes. That's how we know that the Levium only sing over grapes, and only grapes require deconsecration. So there's actually a machlokas between Rabbi Chia and Rabbi Shimon over what actually is included in this fourth year miser. So one opinion says that the fourth year miser includes all fruits, so therefore we don't need the word hilulim to teach that it only applies to grapes, and therefore we can use the word hilulim to teach that you need brachos, that you have to say brachos. However, there's an opinion that says that hilulim is only going on grapes, and if you're using the word hilulim to teach that only grapes require this deconsecration and are brought and are included in this fourth year miser, then how do we learn all other brachos? And again, even according to the opinion that the fourth year is only talking about grapes, if he learns that it's only grapes from a gzera shava of tfua tfua, and he doesn't learn that it's only grapes from the word hilulim, then we can use the word hilulim to teach that we need to make brachos. But if he doesn't learn it from the gzera shava and instead is using it and learning it from hilulim, then how do we know that you have to make brachos? Because we can't use the word hilulim because it's already being used to teach grapes. And again, furthermore, even if he does learn the gzera shava, then we only have one use of the word hilulim, because the other use of hilulim is being used to teach that you have to deconsecrate the fruit, right? So how do we learn that you have to, we only have one use of hilulim, which teaches a bracha achrona. How do we know that you have to make a bracha before you eat the food? We say it's a kal vachomer. If you have to make a bracha when you're full, then kal vachomer, obviously you have to make a bracha when you're hungry. And furthermore, though, this only proves that you make brachos on grapes. How do we know all foods? They say, no, that's easy. If grapes, which are something that you get benefit from, you have to make a bracha on, so to anything that you get benefit from, you have to make a bracha on. But we said, no, maybe grapes are different because they have the law of olelos, which is that you have to leave the underdeveloped grape clusters on the vine for the poor. So we can't learn grapes, which are a special thing to all other foods. And we say, no, so we'll learn it from bread, that we know you have to make brachos on bread, and bread doesn't have the halacha of olelos, so we can use bread to learn all foods. We said, what are you talking about? Bread still has special halachos. It has the halachos of challah, that you have to take hafreshas challah. So we say, we're going to use a tzad hashaveh argument, that both bread and grapes have many, many things that are different between them. What's the common denominator? That they're both something that you're getting benefit from, and you have to make a bracha. So to anything that you get benefit from needs a bracha. He said, that's not the common denominator. There's another common denominator between bread and wine, that they both are unique in that they are brought up on the Mizbeach. Bread is used, the flour is used in the mincha, and the wine is used for the nisach hayayin. So too, we can't compare this to oil, which is brought up on the Mizbeach, but we can't learn these to all foods because they have another unique common denominator. And we asked as a side point, why are we learning oil through here? Why are we learning like olives through this common denominator? We can learn it through a gzera shava. So it says kerem kerem both by olives and by grapes. Just like there's kerem by grapes and grapes you need to make a bracha on them. So too by olives, which also says kerem, you have to make a bracha on them. Rav Papa answers that by the kerem of olives, it says kerem zayit and not just plain kerem. And in order to learn a gzera shava, it has to be the exact same kerem kerem. So we don't learn it through the gzera shava, rather we learn it through the common denominator. But again, we're still left with our question of how can we learn bread and wine, which are brought on Mizbeach, how can we learn from there to all foods? So we answer, no, we learn from the Shiva Minim, which are, we know you have to make a bracha on through the Pasuk, that the Shiva Minim that are found in Eretz Yisrael, and we know that since those are foods that you get benefit on, and you have to make a bracha, so to anything that you get benefit on, you have to make a bracha. Again, this only teaches a bracha achrona, but we can learn the bracha rishona through a kal vachomer, that if you have to make a bracha when you're full, kal vachomer, you have to make a bracha when you are hungry. So this is seemingly good. However, the Shiva Minim also have their own special halacha of Bikurim, that you have to bring the first fruits to the Beis Hamikdash, to the Kohen, right? Or to the Kohen, sorry, not the Beis Hamikdash. So a further question is, even going according to the one who says that the fourth year is talking about all foods, and therefore we can use Hilulim, right? Because they don't need a special derivation from Hilulim to teach grapes. This only teaches, though, brachos on things that are planted. How do we know brachos on all other foods that are not planted? So how do we answer? No, we don't learn brachos from here. We learn it from a logic, from a svara, that you're not allowed to get any benefit from anything on this world without making a bracha. And a brisa also says that you're not allowed to get benefit from anything in this world without a bracha. And if you did, it's considered me'ila, that you misused consecrated property. And if you did do this, what should you do? You should go to a Talmud Chacham. Rava says it doesn't mean you should go to a Talmud Chacham after the fact. Rather, you should go to one originally and learn all about brachos so that you won't come to make a mistake in the future. Yehuda says in the name of Shmuel that if you get benefit without a bracha from something in this world, it's like you're getting benefit from the consecrated property of Hashem. Rav Levi contrasts the two pasuk. One pasuk says, "LaHashem ha'aretz umloa," Hashem owns the earth and the fullness. And the other pasuk says, "Hashemayim shemayim laHashem va'aretz nasan libnei adam." The Shemayim belongs to Hashem, but the earth is ours. So who does the earth belong to, Hashem or us? So we answer that if before you've said a bracha, then it belongs to Hashem. After you've said a bracha, it belongs to us. Chanina Bar Papa says that if you didn't make a bracha, you're robbing from Hashem and from Bnei Yisrael, because by not saying a bracha, you're going to bring some kind of bad thing to the food in general, and then that's going to be bad for all of Bnei Yisrael, because the crops won't grow. Chanina Bar Papa says, what's the difference between diganai and diganecha? One pasuk says it's my grain, talking about Hashem, and one pasuk says it's your grain for us. So we answered that it's yours, it's for humans when Bnei Yisrael are serving Hashem, but it's Hashem's when Bnei Yisrael are not serving Hashem. So Brisa asks, why does it say v'asata diganecha, that you should gather in the grain? The reason it says that pasuk is so that you don't take another pasuk of lo yamush sefer Torah zemi picha literally and say, oh, I don't have time to, you know, always, you don't take it literally and say, I always have to be learning Torah, I don't have time to work, anything like that. But rather, you should combine your Torah with making money, you should make time for both, find a good balance, which is what Rabbi Yishmael says. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says, wait, no, what are you talking about? If you're always farming, then you're never going to have time to learn Torah. Rather, what is this teaching? When Bnei Yisrael is doing Hashem's will, then others are going to do their work for them. However, when they don't do Hashem's will, then they have to do their own work, and others will, and they'll also have to do the work of others. So Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is saying, no, only focus on Torah, and your work will be provided for you. Don't worry. Abai says, yeah, a lot of people did like Rabbi Shimon, and they were successful in both Torah and in their work. But they did. A lot of people did like Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, and they were not successful. So don't just rely on Hashem and just learn Torah all day, because you might not work out for you. Rebbe says also that you shouldn't come, he tells his students, like, please don't come to the Beis Medrash in Nisan and Tishrei, because I want you to work in those times, which are good farming times, and then if you work then and you make money, then you can learn the rest of the year and not have to worry about it. Behuda Bar Rabbi Lai says, look at the difference between the earlier and the later generations, that the earlier generations made Torah their primary focus and work was a secondary focus, and they found success in both. However, the later generations made Torah a secondary focus and their work their primary focus, and they had success in neither. Rabbi Yehuda Bar Rav Eli contrasts the earlier and later generations again. He says the earlier generations brought in their crops through the front door, so they would be chayav in Meiser, but the later ones brought them in through the roofs and through the courtyard and things like that, so they would not be chayav in Meiser, because Rabbi Yanai says that you only have to give Meiser when you bring your fruit through the front door in a normal way. Rabbi Yochanan says even if you bring it through a courtyard, you'd also be chayav in Meiser. Fine, so the Mishnah had said that wine, you would say a bracha of Berei Priya Gafen. So we ask, why is wine different from all other fruits? We answer, because you've changed its form to the better, so you have to change the bracha. But then we also have olives, which change to oil, which is a better form. And Rabbi Yochanan and Shmuel had said that both olives and oil are Berei Priya Eitz. So we answered that you can't say Bri Pri HaZayit because Zayit is talking about olives, and Hashem doesn't make the Pri HaZayit, the oil. Man makes that. So why don't we say Bri Pri Eitz Zayit? So Marzutra says, no, there's a difference between wine and oil, that wine sustains and oil does not sustain. But we have a Mishnah that says that if you vow not to be sustained by anything, you're allowed to drink water and eat salt. But that's the only thing included in things that are not sustaining, which implies that oil is sustaining. So we answered, no, wine satiates, but oil doesn't. We said, does wine really satiate? Because Rava would drink wine on Erev Pesach to whet his appetite for the matzah. So he said, a little wine will satiate you. A lot of wine is going to whet your appetite. But again, we have a pasuk that says that bread satiates, and it talks about wine, and it doesn't say that it satiates, implying that wine does not satiate. So we answered, no, there is a difference between wine and bread. Wine has two things, that it both satiates and it gladdens people. Bread is only going to satiate people. So if wine is so satiating and filling, should we bench on wine? We answer no. People don't make wine into their suda, so there's no reason. You don't have a meal on wine, so you don't have to bench. Nachman Yitzchak said to Rava, what if people did make their suda on wine? Would you have to bench? And Rava answered, all right, if Eliyahu comes and he tells us that's what we have to do, then fine. But for now, no one does this, so we're not going to worry about it. Going back to what Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan said before, that oil, you would say, a Bri Pri HaEitz. So we asked, when would you make this bracha? Because we know oil is harmful for you. And we bring a brisa as proof that if you accidentally consumed truma as a non-Kohen, right, then you would have to pay back the principal of that truma plus a fifth of what you consumed to make amends. And this is only if you, for in terms of oil, you only pay the principal plus a fifth if you anointed yourself with the oil. However, drinking it, you would only pay the principal because it's harmful to you. It's like you're just destroying it, and you would only pay the principal. So we said, no, it's where you eat it with bread. But we have a mission that says that you have two foods. You have an ikar and a tafel, a primary food, which is the bread, and a tafel food, which is the oil, right? You make the bracha on the ikar food on the bread, and you don't have to say a bracha on the oil. So you shouldn't be making a bracha on the oil. So no, you're drinking it by adding it to this anigron, this type of soup. But again, the soup is the ikar, the oil is the tafel. You shouldn't have to make the bracha on the oil. So we answered, it's someone who had a throat pain, and he adds a lot of oil to the soup so that he can hold the soup by his throat and soothe his throat. And that way, by adding the oil to the soup, it's a safe way to eat the soup. We answered, but that's obvious, because here you're eating the soup specifically for the oil. So obviously, the oil is the ikar, and you would have to say a bracha on it. So why are you teaching me that? That's so obvious. So we answered, no, you might have thought that since you're taking this oil for medicine, you shouldn't have to make a bracha on it. But Kamash Malan is coming to teach you that since you're getting hana from it, you're getting benefit from it, you would still have to say a bracha. Shkayach.